up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Overstated NBA Show. Last time we talked to you was, I believe, Wednesday night. We talked about Dame Lillard going to the Milwaukee Bucks. Not a lot has happened in the NBA since then. We have Devin Vassell signing a five-year, $145 million contract. The Charlotte Hornets are being sponsored by a YouTuber named Mr. Beast. That's basically it, man. James Harden might show up to camp. I can't think of anything else that that has gone on in the NBA since then. Producer Mikey, how are you doing, man? Brett, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Okay, man. I would be in a better mood if I kind of sound like I'm moving back from the microphone. The Brewers are currently just choking an awesome game away in the playoffs in game one against Arizona. That's neither here nor there, but don't worry, Boston fans. You know I love to troll you guys. We have to lead in. I think the Boston Celtics made a pretty big trade. I think it would probably be the second biggest trade of the offseason, obviously, behind Dame. But they are sending Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, a bunch of picks, a 2029 first-round pick, a 2024 first-round pick via the Golden State Warriors, to the guy that's wearing all Portland gear right now, Mikey Byers' team, for Portland Trailblazers legend, retire the jersey right now. One of the best, if not the best, two-way player in the NBA, Drew Holiday. Brett, I already know that what you think about this. I want to get your opinion, though, from Portland's point of view. I think we'll talk about Boston in a minute, though. I think we would all agree that Boston is probably the favorite right now, and rightfully so. I thought they had a really bad offseason, and I think they just absolutely hit a grand slam right there. But Brett, and then we can hear from you, Mikey, as well. What are your kind of thoughts from Portland, just based on the entire haul that they got? Essentially, this is a haul for Dame Lillard. If you really think about it, it's pretty damn impressive what Joe Cronin and company did after they almost got bullied by the Miami media. So, Brett, we'll start with you, man. Give me kind of your thoughts from a Portland point of view.
I really think it's a grand slam for Portland. I'd give Cronin probably an A+ just in terms of the return. I think they did about as well as you could hope. Like, I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of this, like when Dame first requested a trade, that you were going to get, you know, Rob Williams, Malcolm Brogdon,
Aiton. I'll give it to you right now, Brett.
Give it to me.
When all is said and done, it's DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, Tumani Kamara, three first-round picks, 2024 Golden State, top four protected, 2029 Bucks and Celtics unprotected, and 28 and 30 Milwaukee pick swaps.
Yeah. No, man. I mean, again, like, yeah, if you had told me in the beginning that they were going to get all that, all those players, all those picks and swaps for Dame, like, I mean, I don't know. I just think, I mean, I've been so excited about this package. I wonder how much of it is like my expectations were just so low after hearing about that Miami crap all summer, just hearing about Tyler Hero and Jaime Jaquez and maybe Kyle Lowry and like two picks, like just hearing about that so much, like maybe my expectations, like my hopes were just so low that this feels like a massive package, but I think it really is. And I absolutely love it from the Blazers perspective, like just in terms of a rebuilding team, like they've got a lot to work with now in terms of just assets and draft capital. They're in a really, really nice position, you know, not to mention kind of their real young core in Shaden and Scoot and Anthony Simons. So yeah, feel great about the direction they're going. And you know, it's of course hard to say goodbye to Dame as like a Blazers fan, as a Dame fan, as somebody who's watched that team a lot over the years. Like it's weird. It's going to take some getting used to. It's sad. It's kind of bittersweet, I guess. Like I'm so excited about the direction they're going, but it's like, when you think about it, it's like, when you see him in that Bucks jersey, it's like, wow. Like,
he looks really good.
It really happened. He does.
Brett, you're a Bucks fan. Stop this, Brett. You're a Trailblazers fan and you're a Bucks fan.
Sure.
Welcome
for
you
sure
on the bandwagon. Mikey, give me kind of your thoughts, man. I mean, you're the diehard here. You live and breathe Portland basketball. I know we were kind of texting on the side in our group chat. I know you're really happy with the haul that they got.
I am. Kind of piggyback on a couple things that Brett said. Like, I think circumstantially Joe Cronin did so good because that's like why, like, you try to measure it against like what we thought he was going to get. I was sure 3 months ago that it was just going to be like best case scenario, everything that Miami had to offer and probably not that. And I heard some quotes from Joe Cronin and like how he handled the process. And he told himself every day, don't settle, block out outside noise, don't settle. In the long run, I know you can debate for days, like if they did Dame dirty, they didn't do Dame dirty. They sent him to a spot where he's in the best position he's ever been in. He's playing with the best or the second best, depending on who you're talking to, player in the league. Like, this is a good situation for him. You could see how happy he is just on his face. We know it's going to work out. He just waited, and he had time, and he took his time. And good for him, because eventually things started to change. So I'm happy about that. Another thing that I want to piggyback on that you said, it's like watching Dame at Media Day there and like how good he looks, how happy he looks. It's kind of like seeing like an ex-girlfriend on Instagram, like with their new boyfriend. You're like, God damn, they look happy. Oh, they got some cute kids. Oh, she's doing really well. It's like that kind of shit. It is a little bittersweet, but it's kind of what we always wanted. If this was ever going to happen, like I always figured I'd transition into like being a Dame fan wherever he went. I always thought it was going to suck having to become a Heat or a Lakers fan or something. So this is so much better. And yeah, man, it's as good as you can hope for from that regard. And then the package that we got back, like, I don't even think Cronin is done. I think eventually Brogdon's going to get flipped. Who knows what we're going to do with Time Lord.
Well, I would flip him now.
I would too.
I wouldn't even, like, the Clippers are dying for a point guard. I mean, we all know that it came down to Boston and the Clippers. I think Boston probably had the better offer with some of those picks because, I mean, sure, we'll get to Boston in a minute, but that, just like Milwaukee, I mean, it's literally like a 2-year, 3-year window, probably two, and that's it. But I mean, I think Portland made out really well here, and I would flip Brogdon. I mean, who would you want from the Clippers? Because to me, it's got to be the Clippers. But
he
failed his physical, didn't he?
The first time. That's the thing. I mean, right. God bless the Clippers. They can keep doing this themselves. But can you imagine another like permanent IR guy with Malcolm Brogdon on that team? But I do have a trade in mind. I don't have like all the math in front of me. I don't have the trade machine pulled up. But I do have like a 3-team construction I was thinking about. And it's going to involve someone that I'm sure we're going to talk about in this pod later. But why isn't there something like a Philadelphia Clippers Portland 3-way trade where the Sixers can make out pretty well and come away with something like they can come away with like Brogdon and maybe Norm Powell from the Clippers. James Harden goes to LA, and then the Blazers just take on contracts and then another asset or two. Something like that. Like I'm pretty sure the money works in that range. I think Portland would probably have to take on like Robert Covington and Nicholas Batum. But if they got like a pick or two back, I think you just do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a couple times, like, I'd be okay with keeping Brogdon around till, say, the trade deadline, you know, if that right deal isn't out there right now. Like, I'm not in that camp of like, oh, it's going to ruin the young guys' development if they have one more, you know, veteran guard on the team for the first half of the season or whatever. But at the same time, like, I would happily move on from Brogdon if I could get, say, like, what I have in mind for him is a first-round pick. It can be a late one, whatever, an interesting young player, like somebody that's kind of like a Brandon Boston from the Clippers, like a guy like that, that just is talented, like kind of like taking a flyer on him, but a guy that just hasn't had much opportunity that would get it in Portland. And then obviously salary, whatever that is, if it's like a Covington type of guy, somebody like
the Clippers have that kind of middle of the range salary.
They do. To make this stuff like work. Yeah, say it was a deal with the Clippers, like that's kind of what I would want, like, you know, just a late first round pick, an interesting young player, and salary to make it work. And like then it's like, yes, let's trade Malcolm Brogdon. I just don't want to give him away for like pennies on the dollar, because I think if that's all that's out there right now, I think you could maybe get more down the road, like, because if there isn't much out there for him, and I don't know that that's the case, like he could be traded in a couple of days, right? But you know, there was kind of the fact that he failed the physical, like he didn't play well in the playoffs. Like, I don't know that his value, even though he won sixth man of the year, I'm not sure his value is as high as it could be. But, you know, the flip side of it is that, like, if you play him, if you're the Blazers and you give him minutes and he's healthy and he plays well, then like you could really boost his trade value. So I just think it depends on what's out there right now. And if it's kind of what I laid out, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. And you got to look at a team like the Houston Rockets from the last couple of years. Like, you need vets around. Think about like just those locker rooms that had nothing but young guys fighting for spots and no one to kind of like put them in the right place. Like, you could see like Houston did like a massive overhaul in the offseason because they're like, we can't sustain this anymore.
They just signed Reggie Bullock today. Like, I think, Brett, I saw your tweet. Like, Houston, they're going to try to make the playoffs this year. I think that's a goal of theirs. Sorry to cut you off, Mike. I just wanted to throw that in there. But I think the other thing about Malcolm Brogdon, and I don't exactly know how to say this, but I think it's weird that he keeps bouncing around to these teams that just end up not wanting him. right? Like, I mean, Milwaukee just basically just sent him to Indiana. They chose, hindsight is 2020, but they essentially chose Eric Bledsoe over him, and he didn't really want to be here anyways. They got a first round pick for him. He goes to Indiana, plays there for a couple of years. Well, Indiana comes in and gets Tyrese Halliburton, right? And then he goes to Boston, and Boston, just after a year, like you said, but he's a sixth man of the year winner. And they're like, okay, like they tried to trade him twice now. Like the second time was a charm. So it's just weird, man. Like, I would be curious to, I'm really curious to hear Malcolm Brogdon's response to, you know, getting traded to Portland. And ultimately, I think to your point, but it's going to come down to, what does Malcolm Brogdon want? Like, does he want to, if he wants to stay in Portland, then by all means keep him, man, because
it seems like he wants to start, you know, kind of based on, I think, how things ended in Boston. Like, wasn't that sort of what it was that was reported, was like, he thought he was going to have a chance to compete for the starting point guard job, like once Smart got traded, and then they kind of were like, no, it's going to be Derek White. And I think like he was kind of unhappy about that. So I think he does want a big role. And that's the thing. It's like, I think he'd probably be okay with Portland if he was starting. I'm not sure they would do that. I think there's a slim chance if they hang on to him that he could, but I wouldn't say it's likely. So if that's the case, if he didn't want to back up Derek White, you know, on a great team, I'm not sure he would want to back up Anfernee Simons or Scoot Henderson, you know, on the Blazers. So yeah, I think he probably wants out. I think they probably want to move him, and it's just going to be one of those things like, hey, as soon as the right deal comes along, you know, we're going to trade you. So
I think if there's any indication that he wanted to get moved, it's that he picked jersey number 92. So you're not going to sell any of my jerseys, so let's get me the fuck out of here.
You should have picked like 86. Like, I'm out.
Yeah, 86. I'm out of here.
That's when you know it's like Malcolm Brogdon will wear number 86 for the Blue. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so Steve just stepped off for a little bit. I'll take over the host duties in his absence real quick. Why don't we get some of your thoughts on the Celtics in general, just their offseason. We didn't really get to touch on it even prior to the Jrue trade. We had our hiatus for Summer League and et cetera. Like, where are you at on the Celtics? Let's get your thoughts on the Porzingis of it all and the getting rid of Marcus Smart of it all.
Yeah, man, it's been a pretty crazy summer for the Celtics. Like, probably their most eventful summer since they loaded up with all that talent and stuff, Gordon Hayward and drafting Tatum. And it's been a while. Like, this is – like, trading Marcus Smart is a big deal. Not to mention Grant Williams, letting him go, and then, you know, now Brogdon. Like, they've really shaken up their team, but, like, I think on paper they're probably the best team in the league. Like, I would say they have the best starting five on paper in the league, but, like, what does that really mean? Like, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with, you know, calling them title favorites.
I love you, Brett. I fucking love you. I love you so much right now.
I mean, I don't think I'm quite – there, like, they're, if they're healthy, if KP's healthy, Drew's healthy, like, they're, if they're fully healthy, they're going to be really tough. Like, it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if they, you know, won the title. But, like, right now, without having seen that group and considering the guys they lost and, like, what that could mean not only on the court but in the locker room, like, their team has a different identity now, and it's like, I kind of just want to see it. Not that I'm doubting them, but I just think I kind of think calling anybody other than Denver the title favorites is kind of crazy, to be honest. Like,
I like it.
You know, like, what? Okay, they lost Bruce Brown and Jeff Green, but, like, why are the Celtics, like, all of a sudden? Or I guess do the Bucks and Celtics have the same odds, whatever it is? Like, I think the Nuggets should have at least as good of odds as them.
They should be the favorite. Yeah. Let's be real, man. They should be the favorite, but we're just sticking on Boston here. Yeah. I agree with you, Brett, and we haven't got a chance to talk. I heard some of the kind of the interviews that you did on Washington Sports Radio. Shout out to Brett. But I thought that Boston, when they made the Smart trade for Porzingis, I thought they got really bad. I thought they were worse. Like, I don't think Milwaukee necessarily had to do anything, and I thought they were the better team than Boston because just of what Boston lost. And I don't really trust Porzingis as much as the next guy. And, you know, up until Sunday, right, it was their front line was Porzingis, Rob Williams, and Al Horford. And let's be real too, man. I think Grant Williams is low-key a little bit of a loss. I think any Boston fan will tell you, I think they're still confused as to why he didn't play as much against Miami. I mean, that was pretty weird then. But, you know, then all of a sudden they get Drew Holiday and it's like, oh shit. Like, I think that was the one team. Actually, I know that was the one team that Milwaukee didn't want to go to. I'm ready to just stop watching sports because my favorite player, Ray Allen, ends up going to Boston. I loved him in Seattle, but then he has to go to Boston. PJ Tucker has to go to Miami. Like, whatever. Neither here nor there. That just sucks. But like, they're going to be really tough. And I agree with you, Brett. And I've listened to a bunch of stuff and everyone is saying, you know, Boston has, you know, the best six in the NBA. And I agree with you on paper, Brett. It's the best five in the NBA. But I mean, what Boston is going to have to go through, and Drew Holiday is great, man. He's going to be great there. Derek White is starting for the first, like, I'm not trying to take any away from that, but like, their front line now is Kristaps Porzingis, who has never stayed healthy, and Al Horford, who's like 37 years old. That's it. And they have to, if they want to win the title, let's just go through this. They have to probably go through Joel Embiid, Giannis, and Nikola Jokic. So I agree with you, Brett, like crowning them as the favorite, and Milwaukee as well. Like, I don't think Milwaukee should be crowned the favorite as well. And your second point about Boston, like Jason Tatum and Rob Williams were super tight. Like, I listened to some of their media stuff yesterday and it didn't seem like, no, it's still in shock, right? Like, I'm not trying to be body language expert over here, but it sounded like it was pretty down. You know, I heard Derek White say, damn, we lost Rob. Like, I've never met Drew. I heard he's a good guy, you know, stuff like that. And Drew Holiday wasn't even at media day. So, I mean, it's a lot. I remember when Milwaukee traded for Drew Holiday and they won the title, right? All they gave up was Eric Bledsoe and George Hill from a player point of view. That's it. Like, Boston going into the season for a team that, similar to Milwaukee, just happened to face a team from Miami that was just on a super hot streak that we talked about on the last podcast. Who knows if we'll ever see that again? Like, they swapped four players for two. I think that's a pretty big deal, man. And their depth is pretty depleted. Like, yeah, if Porzingis can stay healthy, oh my God. Like, that team is going to be really fucking good. That's asking a lot, though.
I just want to make a quick point, just kind of bouncing off something that you said earlier about Malcolm Brogdon, about him not lasting in a lot of places. Kristaps Porzingis got drafted in 2015. This is his fourth NBA team. For a guy with his kind of talent,
and why Luka is he didn't moving around so think much? Think about that. Luka was like, nah, now who knows what's going down in Dallas, but Luka was like, it couldn't work with Luka.
And here's the thing. He's been – so Brett's a Wizards fan.
He's got season tickets, baby.
He's got season tickets coming. So KP had a good season last year. His best season of his career individually. Didn't lead to a lot of wins. 65 games played. That's the most since his second season. It didn't really prove to do much on the court. And they got him out of there. Like, why aren't teams trying to keep Porzingis is what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, the Wizards just didn't want to take on any long-term money, I think. Like, I just think the direction they're going, you know, is pretty much a rebuild. Because he was great last season for them. Like, if they were if he was coming off that season and they were in a different spot where, like, they were trying to make the playoffs or something this year, like,
insane, yeah, not to keep him.
Yeah, exactly. But I think with where they're at, they had their reasons. I don't know if that's so much a knock on him, but maybe when you look at Dallas, though, that's kind of like, you know, what happened there. A lot of it's just been injuries with him, and that's the biggest concern. I think if he's healthy, he's going to be fantastic for Boston. I think he fits what they like to do with how he can space the floor. He can protect the rim for them. He's going to be great. Like, it really, it's just a health thing with him because, you know, we haven't really seen him on, like, a great team. Like, some of those Dallas teams were pretty tough, you know, but I think he was a big part of why they were tough those years, like, in the playoffs before he got hurt. He was awesome. Him and Luka looked great at times. So it'll be good to see him on it. He hasn't been on a team like this. So to see a guy that's that talented in, like, a kind of a reduced role, I guess, in a way, in terms of just usage, probably. He could be pretty damn valuable. But, yeah, man, like, that's a lot, though, when you talk about Rob Williams, Grant Williams, Smart, and Brogdon. Like, you just look at last year's team and not – I mean, Smart's been there forever. Rob Williams has been there forever. Like, Grant's been there for a while. And they're like, those guys are – you know, it's that stuff does matter.
Boston's still going to be good, though. I mean, right? Like, I mean, we should say they're going to go as far as Jason Tatum takes them. Like, that's it. Like, I just want to make it clear, dude. Like, us three, I'm not shitting on Boston at all. Like, they are going to be so tough. They're the favorites, you know, for a reason. This isn't, like, made up. Even though I think all of us think that Denver should be the favorites.
But, like,
they have the best player in basketball.
To give them the same odds, I'd be fine with that.
They gave them the same odds as the Bucks and the
I give all three the same odds. Like,
I would too.
They're kind of like even for me. Like, I don't think one is necessarily. I think the Nuggets kind of have that advantage of, you know, having won last year's title and having the best player of all these guys. But like, I can't really put one of these teams ahead of the other. The Celtics are right there. So yeah, I'm with you, Steve. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on them. I'm just saying, like, it's not all great things. Like, there's, you know, there's a give and a take. Like, there's a downside to it too. And hopefully for them, you know, the new guys they'll outweigh that void from the guys who left. But it's gonna be weird to see. It was gonna be weird to just see them without Smart, you know, and now without Rob Williams.
It's gonna be weird, man. Because I do think two more things before we move on to the next topic. Like, I do think, man, a lot of people are forgetting about Giannis. Just a lot of I've heard a lot of chatter the last couple of days, like, yeah, you know, Milwaukee might be weak on the perimeter. I get it, man. All fair game. Like, there's a lot of unknowns with Milwaukee. We talked about Marjon Beauchamp. Like, who's going to be that fit? All fair and game. But don't sleep on Giannis, man. Like, he is the second best player. And you don't got anybody to guard him. And the last thing I'll say before we move on, there's been since we recorded on Wednesday, I have heard a shit ton of Dame disrespect. Just wait. I'm just telling everybody.
Don't like that.
Good offense beats good defense every single time. And you don't think this dude has something to prove? Just wait, man. I listened to his whole thing yesterday at Media Day. He sounds happy. He sounds like he's ready to go. Like, just wait. I mean, it's going to be epic, but I've heard the Dame disrespect.
I'll put a cherry. Thank you. I feel like that was my introduction. I will put a cherry on top of that. There's been a lot of people referencing the 2018 playoffs against the Pelicans with Drew. And I mean, as a Portland fan, that was all-time disgrace. Like, that sweep was just like, put your head in the sand. You don't want to like listen to anything. I don't think I listened to any NBA related topics for like 3 months after that. The Blazers kind of recovered from it. They, you know, you saw the shrunk after that. But I will say that Dame Lillard, the player right now, regardless of him entering his age 33 season, is like a twice as good a player as he was then.
Just wait, man. I see you smiling, hey, Brett. Bro.
Dame is as good as ever, if not better than ever.
Better than ever.
Yeah, I think people really like, is.
Dame hasn't been in the playoff series in a while. Okay, just wait. Yeah.
The thing is, like, just the way that if you think about their respective gravities, like the nature of Giannis's gravity as a player and then the nature of Damian's gravity as a player, and you think about how that's going to complement each other, like, it's crazy, like, how much better they're going to make each other in that sense. Like, they're just, life's going to be a lot easier. Like, you pick your poison. It's for real. Like, and that's always the case in the NBA. But when you have two top 10 players that complement each other so well, in terms of how they play, like, you know, defenses are going to have a hard time with them, man. They're going to be very, very
tough. And I know Steve's excited about this too, but like, just hearing the way Dame and Giannis spoke about it at Media Day, they know that they need to like create some kind of chemistry together. It's kind of cool to see, like, they, you know, collectively, I think we'd all say like Jamal Murray and Jokic are the best two-man players because of their connectivity.
Right.
But Dame and Giannis have the most talent. And if they can find like a balance the way that Murray and Jokic do, it's fucking over.
It's going to be crazy. I think we're going to see a game where they both get 40 in the same game. I think we'll see that.
I love it. But hey, I want to real quick. I know we're going to kind of bounce around here and touch on some other topics. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on Philly here. This is super interesting to me, right? Because Philly has the reigning MVP in Joel Embiid, great player. They have Tyrese Maxey, who they have dubbed as like Michael Jordan in terms of tradability. Like, they're just not going to trade him.
As good as Tyler Hero?
right before we came on to record, like, Woj was kind of saying, like, you know, I think for whatever reason, Philly is they had media day yesterday in Philadelphia. They flew to Colorado. They're doing their part of their training camp at Colorado State. And James Harden did not come to media day. He's expected to come to show up tomorrow. Some of the reports is that he wants to make Philly uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that, you know, they don't think this is going to be too much and that they're going to trade him. But like, I think we all forget, like, Philly got rid of Doc Rivers. They bring in Nick Nurse, who's a championship winning head coach. I mean, they were up on Boston in round two. three games to two. We all know what happened. Jason Tatum, I mean, they were winning game six, and then Jason Tatum's fourth quarter was just unbelievable. Another notch on that kid's belt. And we know what happened in game seven. James Harden was, I thought, maybe not as good as his MVP seasons, but I thought he was really, really good. I mean, Brett and I, you and I talked about after game one of that playoff series, like it looked like old James Harden. Like he was completely in control the entire game. Everything ran through him. And I just don't know all the details of what happened. I think we can maybe kind of assume that he was maybe promised something and he didn't get that promise. I know there was the Houston rumors over the offseason, but like if James Harden wants to win, like I think this is the best place for him. I do think, you know, I think Denver is obviously the favorite to win the whole thing. Definitely the favorite in the West. I do think in the East that Boston and Milwaukee are maybe a head above the rest, but like, if you're James Harden, like, why wouldn't you want to come back to Philly to play with these guys? And if you're Joel Embiid, like, what are you thinking right now? What's going through your head? I mean, can Tyrese Maxey make that jump? Like, I don't know. Brett, what are what's your take on this entire Philly situation from the time James Harden demanded a trade, from Dame coming to Milwaukee, Drew going to Boston? We have Nick Nurse as a new head coach. Like, where do you think Philly stands here, and what do you think they ultimately do?
Man, I mean, it's as simple as a team either offering enough or Philly being willing to take less than they want for James Harden. Like, that's the only way this thing is going to resolve. And it's just tough, man. It's kind of like a standoff right now. Like, between we've seen this from Maury before. Like, he's not afraid to do this. Like, Harden, this could get super ugly. So, like, I would like to see them just move on, and that would probably mean just taking like kind of a shitty package back for Harden. Like, I just don't think the market is that strong for him right now. Like, I think there are teams that would want him. Like, I think the Clippers would want him, you know. I think the Miami Heat may, I don't know, maybe not them, but they might take him for the right price, you know? And so I just think that's where it's at right now with as far as that goes. But I still think they could be a really good team.
So even do I. Without him. So
like,
do
if
I.
You could get like a quality rotation player back for him or two, like if you could get like a Norm Powell or somebody like that from the Clippers, I don't know, like somebody of that caliber maybe. I say you just do it because they could still be good. Yeah, Maxey, you know, could take a pretty big leap, and you still got Tobias, you've still got Melton and Embiid, of course. Like, I don't know. I tweeted about it the other day, but it just sucks. Like, this is probably going to be what Harden's like remembered for, is just like demanding trades and holding out and like the drama. And like, people are going to forget what a great player he was. I swear. I mean, not his biggest fans, but like just like 10 years, 20 years from now, when people are looking back, I don't know. I wonder, is that going to be like a big part of his legacy? Maybe if we move far enough past it, it'll have the reverse effect where people actually look at who he was as a player and like, don't really care about the drama that was happening back in the 2020s. But right now, at least, that seems like it's kind of like become his identity. Like, and it just sucks, but like, this has happened so many times now. And I just want to see it resolved. This isn't like the Dame one where it was like kind of exciting, even though it was being dragged out. Like, this is just like, I don't want to hear about it. I am interested to see what did they say he's going to make it uncomfortable for this? Like, what is that going to look like? And then the one thing though is like, with Embiid, like I keep hearing this. I heard it on a podcast today. People just saying like, oh, the Philly needs to show Embiid that they can build a contender around him. Like, I've heard that so many times. Even Embiid kind of alluded to it. Like, and it's like, did they not build an awesome team around you last year and you just weren't great?
Or the year before that. Or the year before that. Or the year before that.
Where does this narrative come from that like, oh, Daryl needs to, you know, this is it with Embiid. He's got to show him he, you know, cares and, you know, has to put this great team around him and everything. And it's like, I feel like they kind of have, and maybe like Embiid needs to sort of take some responsibility there. Like, just be like, yeah, that's on me. Like, he put a great team around me. I need to show that I can lead that talented of a team. Like, it's almost like the flip side of it. So I'm just tired of hearing about like, they've not put enough around Embiid. Like, guys have won with less. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I agree, dude. And it's just, I do feel for him in this respect, right? It's got to be frustrating, man. Ben Simmons was, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum, is All-NBA defense. I think he was the third team All-NBA. And then he goes through his stuff, right? Like, that's supposed to be the next duo, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Then Joel Embiid, you know, or I'm sorry, Ben Simmons, obviously we know what happened. He gets traded to Brooklyn, and then here comes James Harden. James Harden was really good last season.
Yeah.
Like, he had – I know there was a couple games in the playoffs against Boston where it was like, oh, boy, here's James Harden again. But I thought he had two of his – one of his best playoff games that he's ever had, too. Yeah. So, like, I just – like, I do feel for Embiid in that regard. But, yeah, I mean – it seems like every year it's something with that team. Either he gets hurt or something weird happens. I mean, we can all go back. I've said it ad nauseum too. Letting Jimmy Butler go was the dumbest thing that franchises has done in a long time. We see the impact that Jimmy has on Miami and what he's been able to do since he left Philly. That team, man, since they started the process, dude, it has just been cluster after cluster after cluster. And I don't know when it's going to end, man. Like, for all I know, we could be having this conversation a year from now when Joel Embiid could be on another team. Like, I just think
some of it's on him. I think some A lot of it is on him. Like, but yeah, he has been throwing a couple curveballs, like the Ben Simmons thing for sure. And then now this with Harden, although Harden was there last year and, like you said, was great. And there was that team with Jimmy. Like, yeah, they let Jimmy go, but like, they did put that team together. And like, that team, you know, didn't make it to the finals. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's a mixture of things, but it's like, I don't know that Embiid gets enough. I don't even want to say blame, because like, the guy's winning MVP, he's playing. He couldn't play much better when he's on the court. He's been as good as just about anybody on like a permanent basis. But you know, if it's coming to like, hey, we need to win a championship, that's where it's like, they've given you the teams to get there, I think. And
I agree.
I don't know. Maybe, and who knows, man? Maybe this will be the year, but it's just so tough in the East. But I would have them third still, even if they lose Harden for just like, say, a quality role player and whatever pieces. Like, I still would probably have them as the third team in the East, right? Behind Boston and Milwaukee.
I would too. I mean, the East is, I want to talk about the West here in a minute here, but the East is fascinating, man. I think nobody has really talked about Cleveland too much. I think they're going to be right there.
Yeah, they're kind of getting slept on, I think.
They signed Strus, dude. I think he's going to be really good. And I do think, man, I don't want to bring up this whole Miami thing again, but like, you got to think they're getting ready to trade somebody. I mean, they lost a lot of guys. You know, even for Miami, I think that's a lot of playoff rotation guys that had a big, big impact on them going as far as they did. You know, they're not there. I think they – I'm laughing, but it's like we talked about last week, dude. Like, I would not be surprised if that team is a playing team, right? Right? Like, I don't think they are as nearly as good as they were last year, especially from a roster perspective.
Well, they were a playing team last year too,
right?
They were. And then
you got to keep that in perspective.
Yeah. That is very true. That's easy to forget.
I don't think they got better though. Like, no, I don't know. It's hard to imagine they got better. So like. Yeah, if you look at their depth chart, it's like, I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out, but like, not, I don't know, man. Especially if Hero's unhappy, like
he didn't sound too happy yesterday, man.
No, like, of course he's not, dude. The way he's been like talked about, like, come on, man. And then Jimmy's a year older, like with a lot of
miles. That's the biggest thing to me is, can they sustain another season with Jimmy?
Jimmy's older than
taking on the kind of workload that he's had. And like, you know how hard he goes in the playoffs. There's a reason why it seems like he's a different player in the playoffs, because he has to turn it up to a different level.
And it's also why they wanted Dame more. It's also why they wanted Dame too, to ease that burden off of Jimmy. But you know, I think the Knicks are being slept on a little bit too, man. Like, I love the Dante acquisition that they got. That's NBA champion Dante DiVincenzo, for you guys that don't know. But that's, I mean, they got the Villanova squad over there.
They're gonna be good.
I think they're gonna be tough. Like, the East is tough, man. But like,
Hawks got Quinn Snyder now, like
full season. Yep. And that's another team that you're looking at and you're like, all right, man, what kind of move can they make? Indiana, we haven't talked about Indiana and Tyrese Halliburton.
They might be better than Miami.
My guy Ben Mathurin, I think, is poised to take that next jump. I mean, obviously we know about – yeah, man. Like, we know about Miles Turner. Like, I think that team's going to be tough. I mean, the East is
Brooklyn. Yeah, I don't even think you said Brooklyn, right?
Brooklyn could be tough. Yep.
I mean, yeah, Brooklyn's going to be better.
They're going to be like on that fringe, like probably not a top six team, but like they could be right in there. Yeah, the Magic
are going to be tough.
Definitely could make the playoffs. Well,
The Magic. I'm glad that you brought them up, because I mean, we always talk about when these teams go play or these players go play with Team USA, like these guys are going to make the jump, dude. You look at Halliburton played for them. Mikal Bridges played for them. Paolo played for them. Austin Reeves played for them. Jalen Brunson, that's what I was thinking of, for the Knicks. Like, dude, I think these dudes are going to come back and they're already in good shape. Like, I think.
And then with the Magic specifically, though, like, you not only have Paolo, but then you have Franz, who won the thing and was outstanding for Germany. Like, and we saw the boost that he got off the, Eurobasket or whatever last year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's going to have that same thing off this. Like, the Magic could be tough, man. Like, so yeah, the East is. Like, Miami's going to have to really try in the regular season. Like, Jimmy's going to have to play probably 65-plus games and go pretty hard, I think, to carry that team, unless they figure something out in terms of, like, a trade to help them out. But right now they look pretty thin. And, going back to Philly, though, I think they're above all those other teams we talked about, maybe slightly above Cleveland. They're right there.
So do I. So I want to get your guys' thoughts, and when we bounce around, kind of some of the stuff that you guys noticed from Media Day. One of the things that I noticed is Golden State. All summer long, as soon as they got Chris Paul, it was like, is Chris Paul going to come off the bench? Is he not going to come off the bench? Well, conveniently, Draymond Green sprains his ankle, and he's going to miss the first couple weeks of the regular season. And Steve Kerr announced today that Klay is going to be playing the four, or Wiggins is going to be playing the four. It's going to be a backcourt of Steph and Chris Paul. Brett, what's your kind of vibe on Golden State here? And kind of, obviously, I think we know just based on age, based on contracts, that this is kind of the last run for them with this specific group of players. We all saw the awesome, probably the best first round series we've seen in a while between Golden State and Sacramento. Well, kind of give me your thoughts on a starting backcourt of Steph Curry and Chris Paul. How is that going to work? We all know the point guard likes to have the ball in his hands, and it doesn't necessarily fit with the starters, at least, on how they want to play. Kind of give me your thoughts on Golden State a little bit here.
I think there's definitely potential for disaster.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
There's disaster potential is there. Like, you could point to any number of things. I mean, Draymond starting off the season by getting injured is not a great omen, like another Draymond involved, preseason incident. This is, you know, a little different than last year, but still, it's like
they might prefer him getting injured to how they started out last season.
I think so. This isn't going to be as big of a deal as that. Once he gets better, hopefully everything will be fine. But, you know, I mean, the Chris Paul thing, like, you'd like to think, hey, this is 38, 39 year old Chris Paul, 37, 38, whatever he is. Role player, he's just going to be chill. He's going to play his role. He'll start when you need him to start. He'll come off the bench when you need him to come off the bench. He's not going to mess up the chemistry. He's not going to mess up the system. He's not going to mess up the vibe. Like, he'd like to be able to say all that, but I don't know, man. He's a big personality. He's got a big ego. He's still a really good player, and he knows that. And he plays a different type of basketball. It's going to be an interesting fit. So I can't rule out it working really well and them still being like a top four seed in the West or something like that. And, you know, maybe even winning a playoff series or two, who knows? Like, definitely can't rule that out, but I think they've got relative to how good, there's a lot of like variance, like relative to how good they could be. There's quite a bit of like potential for disaster. Like, what if the wheels fell off Looney? Like, fine, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. It's some questions with their depth. What kind of a leap can Kuminga make? Like, they have no real bigs. Like, I don't think they have a single player over 6'9". So I'm not super optimistic about them. Like, they're shaky. They're shaky.
It's not that dissimilar to when they started a few years ago with D'Lo on the team and how they came in the training camp, like talking about, oh, he's going to have a big role. This is going to be great for us. And the whole time, everyone's just questioning it. Like, he's not really a system player. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the Warriors are pretty primed to make a move this season. Chris Paul's contract is just kind of sitting there. Obviously, in the meantime, they're going to say everything that they have to say. But I wouldn't be shocked if by the time that more players are allowed to be traded with that December 15th deadline or whatever it is, and by midseason, like, this could be a team that's pretty aggressively looking to attach Chris Paul and maybe like a Moses Moody, and trying to bring in someone that can help this team with some size on the wing. Shit, maybe some more scoring punch.
Trade him for Brogdon if we can get Moses Moody out of it.
Hey, there we go. there we go. So Brett, give me something though that you saw from Media Day or something that you heard or maybe that you thought was interesting. I've seen a couple of your tweets, man. I really like some of the Phoenix stuff you were saying. Like, what is something that you saw from Media Day that you're like, okay, I can get with this?
Oh, man. I mean, well, the one I watched was Atlanta because I was just, you know, you can really only like watch one at a time if you're like trying to watch them live. I was flipping back and forth a little bit, but like some of them I just couldn't even find the stream or like the stream wasn't working. Like I was trying to watch the Pelicans Media Day and that stream kept going down. So I ended up just watching Atlanta. I watched Quinn Snyder's entire media session. You know, it was probably 10 minutes of him answering questions. And like, I came away from that feeling really good about him as a coach and as a person and a communicator and just about the Hawks as a whole this season. Like just some of the things he was talking about, like he's got his own staff now. Like he was able to this summer bring in all his guys. Like he's got this handpicked staff and he was talking about like, that's the thing you have the most control over really, like as a coach, like that's where you actually get to do the hiring essentially. And just talking about some of the changes that he made and just the approach that they want to take, the hands-on approach. He had some great quotes, but like, I think that's something that maybe isn't being talked about enough. Like obviously he came aboard. I don't know how many games he coached them last season, but toward the end of last season. And you know, they looked good under him for a large part of that time.
Beat the shit out of Miami. Never forget.
Yeah, man, they really did. Yeah, Clint Capella had like 114 rebounds. But they looked pretty good under him. And like, but just to have that whole offseason, like with the players working with the staff and then to have a full training camp and open the season with Quinn Snyder as your head coach, like we forget, like the Jazz had the best record in the league in like, I was at the
couple years ago,
2021, I think, yeah. Like 2 years ago.
They were always very consistent under him.
Yeah, he is a great coach. Like he's a big upgrade over Nate McMillan. So that's one thing, was just because that was the one that I actually was really watching live and listening to. I'm like, man, this guy is he's going to do a good job there. That was one takeaway. I bounced around. I saw some of the Spurs. Wemby, I like the height. It like we know, but
your boy Devin got paid too, man.
Devin Vassell got paid. Yeah, that was kind of a cool it happened on Media Day, right? But it wasn't obviously directly tied to Media Day, but that was a cool bit of news that kind of came out of the day. Like I think that's going to end up looking like a pretty good contract. I think that's going to be pretty reasonable. But yeah, that's so yeah, the Spurs had a good Media Day. Wemby looked great. He looked insanely tall, like the pictures of him next to Sohan.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Like I showed one to my wife. I was like, that guy's 6'9". She's like, the tall guy. I'm like, no, the short guy in that picture is 6'9". She's like, what? No way. Like, yeah. It's crazy. He's I can't wait to
he's
watch
it. He's an alien, dude. Man. It's something bro, special, really dude. Is. They got he something really special.
Is. Good vibes there, though. Good vibes there. Good vibes on a lot of these teams. Bad vibes in Toronto, it seemed like. Did you guys catch any of that?
I caught a little bit of it, and I saw what Masai did. And, man, I don't – how many times are we going to go through this with Toronto? I think we did it with a lot last year, a little bit the year before. It seems like we're going to do it a lot this year. We're like – I saw the report that, you know, they're just going to let OG and Pascal play their contracts out and kind of see what happens. And it's just like, man, what is your plan there that you got going on? Like, I mean, you look at that title team. I mean, they lost Kawhi for nothing. They lost Fred VanVleet for nothing. I know they got a little bit from Kyle Lowry, but like Marc Gasol went for nothing. Serge Ibaka went for nothing. Like how many times are we going to do this? It seems like this, it's not getting replenished. I think hopefully Scotty Barnes can bounce back. I think
that's what they need. That's it.
I don't think
that's
he had necessarily right a disappointing second year, but I think for a rookie of the year, you expected him to take a little bit more of a jump.
He wasn't really any better his second year than he was his first year. But you nailed it though, man, because that is the thing. That's what it's going to take right now, I think, to reinvigorate this franchise. I mean, they do have a new coach. Like people were kind of critical of some of his quotes, I guess, about talking about Siakam again. Like it kind of sounded like Masai and Darko were like a little negative toward Pascal. And there's obviously some tension there. And But it just, that was one of the ones where the vibe didn't see, I didn't see too much of it. I just kind of saw that stuff. So maybe the vibe wasn't
I think you're right though, man. I think, you know, when we have excitement in
Toronto right now.
They're just a weird team, man. I mean, obviously
Miami, like just not a lot of excitement in Miami right now.
Yeah, but at least with Miami, I mean, you have Jimmy Butler, even when he's dressing up like an emo, which was fucking hilarious. But like, you know, Miami is going to do something. Charlotte, I mean, is what kind of whatever. And then you're just looking around the Eastern Conference. I mean, I think Chicago is going to be tough. Who knows what they're going to do. I think they're a team to watch coming up to the trade deadline. I mean, they got
another team that's not super exciting. I should take back saying that about Miami, though, because between coming off a finals appearance and Jimmy Butler's appearance, that was something. Yeah. So maybe, you know, there's some excitement in Miami, just a different type. But yeah, the Chicago's one though, where I was looking at the projected, or maybe it was power rankings, but they were like, it might've been Bleacher Report or something. I'm not sure. Some power rankings I saw where they were like 25th. I'm like, really? And then I was thinking about, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe are they that bad? But they're a team where it's like, they're probably going to be better than people think. They're just not the most
exciting. I think that's a team that's just going to refuse to blow it up.
Yeah.
No matter like what happens. I think it's just, they're like, we've got who we've got. Maybe they'll make some moves on the fringes, but I don't think they're moving anyone. And then they've just got like a baseline of how good they're going to be because they've got such talent. They just don't really work.
There's no way that team's like, I can't imagine them even really being below 500 or like by much. So I'm like, why are they so low? Maybe I should check what power rankings that was. That might have just been some goofy thing, but the rest of it looked pretty accurate. And I'm like, Chicago 24, 25, whatever. Yeah, it was.
Riley proudly messaged me today that they're going to be a 44 win team, and he stands by it. Shout out, Riley!
Shout out!
Good for you, bud.
Still got all their guys. Like, let's get that Patrick Williams leap.
I think, though, not to play devil's advocate, though, I do think Chicago is a very, very interesting blow it up team midway through the season, depending on how their season's going, depending on what their record is, depending on what they do.
You think if they're like bad?
I think like they got a lot of guys, man, that, you know, you look at their top three, I think a lot of contenders, playoff teams would want those guys. You know, I think Caruso is, you know, dude, he's the big one, right? I mean, he fits on just about every single contender there is in the NBA. You look at DeMar DeRozan, you look at Zach LaVine. Like, I mean, there were rumors, right? I mean, we were going up to the trade deadline last year and it was like, are they going to trade Zach LaVine? Are they not going to trade Zach LaVine? I do agree with you though, Mikey. Like, I think Chicago could sneak up on some people, but they are the, to me at least, the number one potential blow it up team that we have. But
I like them as a Brogdon team. Malcolm Brogdon maybe to the Bulls. What could we get from them, Mikey? Like, now I'm thinking, but that's one that
could be taking my guy Javon Carter, dude.
He'd be a while before we get Javon.
I wish we could get Patrick Williams, but that'd probably be too much. Yeah,
they would have done that for Drew, but I don't think they do it
exactly. They would have done it for Drew. I didn't hate that idea. I think Riley had mentioned it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Talk to me. But yeah, they could actually use a guy like Brogdon. He's kind of on their timeline, 30. You know,
yeah, whatever that timeline is.
Dirty often hurt. It's a good timeline.
It's a great timeline. Hey, I want to real quick before we get out of here, man, I want to talk about the Phoenix Suns. I think that's another team that a lot of people are sleeping on, and they've gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit because, you know, they made their moves early on in the offseason, you know, with the acquisition of Bradley Beal. I think they're tough, man. And Brett, you said something the other day, and I thought you said it perfectly. Stop thinking of Bradley Beal as a number one option and start thinking of him as a number three option and how good
scary.
He can be. Like, it scary. Is the way that Phoenix is going to be able to score the basketball, I think, is going to be impressive. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Denver. Denver 1,000% should be the favorites, not only in the West, but to win the finals. You know, going by what we said earlier on, they still have, you know, the best two-man game in the NBA. Jokic is still that dude. His media day was hilarious. How many times did you pick up a basketball? A couple times. Like, just did not want to be there. Had no idea who Deion Sanders was. Just so over American NBA sports. But, like, I think Phoenix could surprise some people too, man. Like, surprise some people in a way like, oh, their defense is going to be bad. They're going to have to outscore everybody. How are they going to
win? They could win 70 games, like that type of shit.
Whoa, I don't know about that, but like, I could see them. I could see them being.
I'm saying, like, if you're saying surprise people, I'm not saying they will or it's likely, but it's like, if they won 68, 70 games. Like, I don't know, they have that kind of talent. I wouldn't bet on that happening. Like, you know, I think maybe they'd be in the 50s if I had to put money on it, but like, they have that kind of talent where, like, if they just exploded and were the best team in the league, at least during the regular season, like, I wouldn't be shocked. I would put them maybe right below all those other teams we mentioned in terms of, you know, finals or title odds. Like, I don't think they're that far below any of those teams. They don't have quite the depth of those other teams, but they're right there, man. They're definitely – they've got to be considered the number two in the West, and then certainly within that top four of finals contenders. Like, they're ahead of any other team in the East. I'd have them probably fourth overall. At worst.
Yeah, and like, I think that, you know, man, if we looked up in March, April, and they were the one seed and they had a couple game lead over Denver, I would not be surprised by that at all. I mean, because
I don't think Denver's chasing a one seed, so that wouldn't be shocking.
Yeah, true. I think Phoenix, true. If anything, I probably would think Phoenix would get it. I think they're going to be a really good regular season team and really good in the playoffs. They
kind of break my brain just like looking at their roster and then all the – just the everything that goes on with that team and the KD of it all. Like, it's really hard to figure out because, like, if you told me they were going to be a one seed and I'm not going to say 70 games, but maybe if they're like a 65-win team. And then if you told me, like, oh, they had some injuries and they kind of like – lollygag through the season and they were like almost a play-in team, you know, like flirting with like falling out and into that like seventh seed range, that wouldn't shock me either. So it's like, yeah. But I do think that often when we just think about how powerful they could be as a collective unit, I think we overthink it. I think they're going to be monsters. They're going to be really, when they're at full health, they're going to be terrifying to deal with. And they're a team that nobody wants to see in the playoffs.
It could be along the same lines of what the Nets looked like when they actually had Harden, KD, and Kyrie like that.
For those 6 games?
15 games, whatever
it was. They looked amazing, and they looked terrifying.
Like, it could be something like that. And it could also be something like where, you know, Beal and Durant miss a lot of games, and then they're not that great overall. And it's like, yeah, when they're at full strength, they're the best team in the league, best historically great offense, all that. So I could see them being like that. So, like, if they do stay healthy, like, they're – I think they're going to win a ton of games. Like, they've got as high of a ceiling as anybody. And I guess that's what I mean when I'm talking about, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think 60 wins would surprise me for that team. Like, it would have to be more than that to really even surprise me. Like, they're I guess I've got pretty high expectations. And the Nurk thing, like, I've kind of talked myself into the philosophy there where, like, we know DeAndre Ayton. Like, he wants a big role. Like, he wants a lot of shots. He wants to shine. Like, how many touches was that guy going to get next to Beal, Durant, and Booker? Like, so you maybe don't want a guy that wants a whole bunch of touches. And, like,
well, the one thing that I will give credit to Nurk for, and like Dame feasted off this for years, that guy set some fucking pancake screens.
Yeah,
he flattens people. Yeah. So, like, just think of Booker and Beal coming, like, going downhill full speed, and then just their defender runs into Nurkic. He's not even like rolling a lot of the time. It's just like he is taking a guy out of the play.
He's pretty young. He's younger than you would think.
I think he's still 27.
Yeah, and he's a better passer than Ayton, much better screen setter than almost anybody. That's a great point. Like, yeah, Simons and Lillard both, like, just he's been so valuable for them with those. And he's a better shooter than Ayton from three. You know, Ayton's a great mid-range shooter, but Nurkic can actually make threes. So if they're looking for a big that can stretch it out a little bit, like, and then, yeah, just – not having as quite the demand for like touches or like the spotlight, like a guy that would just be okay playing more, you know, being more of a role player, I guess. Whereas Ayton kind of wants to be featured. Like, I kind of see where they were coming from with that, where like,
it has to be best case scenario though.
Yes, it's true. And they don't have a point guard, which is kind of wild, but I have faith in like Book and Beal being able to pretty much hold down those duties, and Durant too. You know, there's the combination of
how that team doesn't really need a point guard.
You really don't. They really don't.
They're going to be good, man. Like, they're going to be really good. I mean,
very excited about that team.
We can't talk about the loss of campaign enough for them, but like, dude, they're going to be tough.
Good home.
Hey, do you guys, before we get out of here, is there anything else that you two want to touch on from yesterday, from media day, or maybe something that caught your eye, maybe an offseason move that, hey, don't sleep on this team. Anything from you guys at all? I'll let you guys have the floor here before we wrap it up.
For me, since we touched a little bit on the Vassell contract, I want to know, Brett, who is the next guy from this this upcoming restricted free agency class that you think is going to get the bag. Some names out there, Jaden McDaniel is an obvious one. You talked about the Hawks quite a bit. Okongwu is a very interesting case with him and Capella's kind of Giannis situation there. Pat Williams, Tyrese Maxey. Some of these guys got to get the bags. Oh, your boy, Obi Toppin. He's a big one. Like, somebody's going to get paid. Baby. And who do you think is going to slide into restricted free agency next offseason and be kind of an interesting target for other teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think the majority of the guys that haven't signed an extension yet will go, or even the majority of kind of like the notable guys will become restricted free agents. But I think a couple more will get done before the season starts. I think Jaden McDaniels for sure.
Has to, right?
He has to, man.
It's got to be whatever Vassell got. It's got to be a little bit more.
I mean, dude, we'll see if they go for like the 4-year or the 5-year, but if they do a 5-year, like the Spurs did with Vassell, 5-year extension, like if Vassell got 146, like you could be looking at 180 maybe, yeah, for Jaden McDaniels.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Like he's more valuable than Vassell. As good as Vassell is, as much as I like Vassell, Jaden's actually like on another level in terms of how he's perceived around the league. So that's going to be, I think a lot of people are going to have a problem with just like the shock value of that number at first. But he's going to end up definitely being worth it.
That's the modern NBA. I saw the Devin Vassell one and I didn't even bat an eye. It's like, yep.
Yeah, that one didn't really, I mean, it was like, it's a lot of money, but then it's like, yeah, actually, what do you think about it? Yeah, you know what? That's it's probably going to end up looking like a really good deal. It's all relative. And then I think Okongwu is another one that could get done before the season. I get the sense that they're pretty high on him and would like to lock him. And that's one where it's just like, you know, what can they come to terms on? Like, what are they going to have to pay to keep him there? Is it going to be like 4 years, 80 or maybe more? Like, I'm not sure. What would it look like relative to what they gave DeAndre Hunter last year? But I think that's another one that I feel like is going to get done. The Maxey one is probably not until after the season, right? Like, or
yeah,
is that
I still can't get over that Philly situation and what they're doing with him. That's so, but like that he's even going along with it. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. What are some other names there on the restricted? I guess those are probably two of the big ones. Now that Vassell got done, obviously Desmond Bane got done, and of course like Ant Edwards and
I think Mello. Pat Williams and Obi Toppin both kind of have to have like prove it years. It's probably in their best interest to play the year out.
Yep. No,
I think
definitely.
Obi Toppin's going to have a much bigger role in Indiana than he did in New York, and like he could be. I think you had a tweet about this, but he could be a most improved player candidate.
He'd be on my short list for like way too early potential candidates. But yeah, that's one where like, I'm sure they're excited about having him. I think the fit makes a ton of sense, but I just think that they're going to probably just want to see what it looks like and then gladly, you know, match any offers, next off season. If the fit's as good as, you know, I think it could be.
For sure. Well, before we go, Steve, why don't you let us know how your Brewers did tonight? We
didn't shut the score. Fuck you, Mikey. That's just mean. What? That's just mean.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm a Milwaukee sports fan now. Like, just let me know how it went.
Nobody loses like a Wisconsin sports team. They had 12 hits, 4 walks, and they scored 3 runs. They lost 6-3. They had the bases loaded twice and didn't get anybody in. I'm whatever. They play tomorrow. I was in a good mood till you brought that up, Mikey.
It's baseball. They always play tomorrow.
Okay, well, it's game one, game two tomorrow. Hopefully, we can rally. Nothing like baseball playoffs. For myself, producer Mikey, and the man, the myth, the legend, Brett Usher. Peace, everybody. We will see you guys next week. Later.